Welcome to PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. I am your host, Kevin Fishbane. I got great news for everyone. There's a real football game this week that we are going to preview right here on the podcast. Got two great guests today. Got both my producers in-house, John Solly and Dan Mott. And we're going to break down what's kind of a crazy roster move weekend for the Bears, setting themselves up for week one, preparing for the Houston Texans, their first matchup of the 2016 season. Go ahead and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Search Pro Football Weekly Chicago. Give us a five-star rating. Follow us on Twitter and on Snapchat at Bears_Insider. I am at K Fishbane. You can get all of our stories at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Recording this on Tuesday throughout the regular season. We'll be recording every Tuesday, hopefully getting you a podcast for your Tuesday evening, setting you up for the next Bears game. And before we can even talk Texans, which we will do with the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer from Houston, and later on we'll talk to Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times, we got to talk about Robbie Gould. Robbie Gould was cut late on Sunday night, right in the middle of a great Texas-Notre Dame game. And what's interesting about this move is I got a text pretty early on, right after the decision was made, from one Dan Mott, who wanted to remind me what happened last week. So let's go.
Yeah, let's go back in the time machine.
Yeah, let's go in memory lane here. See what happened on the podcast last week.
Bears at any point over the next couple weeks start taking a look at a kicker?
You are hating on Robbie.
I don't mean to hate on Robbie.
Robbie Gould. But I actually got asked that recently, and I don't think they're going to go down that path right now.
Yeah.
You know, I think Robbie just had a little bit of a rough patch last week. First 8 weeks of the season last year, he was the best player on the team.
Yeah.
And they'll keep their eye open, I'm sure, if he continues to struggle. But right now it's hard for me to see them kind of making too many adjustments there. I just imagine that, you know, for one thing, that Robbie's been here for so long, I think they trust him. And I think if they were concerned, they would have had a rookie in camp at some point. They never did. You know, 90 guys, you could have had somebody in there. And they didn't have one. So I think right now they're okay. Clearly you're not hating on the kicker. But I understand. I mean, again, you're not the only one who's had that question mark. So look how much I know about the team that I cover.
So right.
The Chicago Bears.
You're
now,
so
I did back myself there. I said they'd keep their eyes open, and he did continue to struggle 2 days after he recorded that, missed two extra points in Cleveland. But Dan Mott, the hater of Robbie Gould, you don't actually hate Robbie Gould. You're a bum that he's gone.
Yeah.
But that was
– it was shocking.
It was a surprising move. And I'm going to get into this with Mark Potash, but here's my take. I listened to what Ryan Pace said on Monday, and I understood it in a vacuum. Player X is better than player Y. We believe player X helps our team win, improves our team. We sign him. We cut player Y. For the Bears, that was Connor Barth, Robbie Gould. But when you hear him describe that scenario and you go outside the vacuum, you're talking about Connor Barth. This isn't, you know, Steven Gostkowski. This isn't Sebastian Janikowski. We're not talking about Adam Vinatieri. We're not talking about Robbie Gould, one of the best kickers in the history of the game. Now, I think Connor Barth, they like his accuracy. He's very accurate under 40 yards, something that, you know, Robbie had a couple big misses last year. And if they had cut Robbie in April, May, $3 million base salary, they wanted to go young at the position – okay, it would have still been stunning. Obviously, an important person in this organization's history, all over the record books. But you'd be like, all right, you know, that it's a business. But to do it on Sunday night because Connor Barth was available, that it's just the timing of it, and to make a move like this. And look, I understand that these NFL GMs have to step back from the PR sense of it and have to just do what makes their team better. But we're talking about a kicker.
They are not setting up Connor Barth for any sort of success.
No.
If he misses a kick this week, and God help him if it's a crucial one, oh boy, that's not going to look good for Pace and Fox.
And guess what? When the Bears host the Eagles in week two on Monday night, that'll be the first time Connor Barth has kicked in a regular season game at Soldier Field. He kicked in a preseason game there in 2008. And you know, it's a tough place to kick, the way right on the lake. I mean, the way the wind gets there, especially in the winter, Look, I mean, this was Jeff Rogers, special teams coordinator. We're going to talk to him on Wednesday. We're recording this on Tuesday. Maybe we'll get some more insight. I mean, but John Fox and Ryan Pace made it clear. They, to put it bluntly, they think Connor Barth is a better kicker than Robbie Gould for what they want to do with the Bears.
It's, I mean, it's a cold Which, business.
Fine.
And that's a fact.
If that's what they truly believe, then, like, okay. It's just it was just weird because you hear that explanation, then you step back. Okay, but you, really, Connor Barth been cut twice this season so far.
He may make it three.
So, you know, look, like, best of luck to him, and, of course, best of luck to Robbie Gould. He was on our TV show, Chicago Football Now, and obviously, as we said, a historic player in the Bears, and this is what the Bears have been doing. This is Ryan Pace and John Fox's team. They find a player they like, you're gone. Matt Forte is gone. Marty Bennett, gone. Brandon Marshall. I mean, you go through. Roberto Garza, go back to the beginning. I mean, this is the team they're making. It was just kind of interesting timing that this is when they decided to move on from Robbie Gould.
Yeah, even if, and like you said, if they find somebody better, you're gone. Even if it's just marginally better.
Yeah.
Even if it's like 1% or 2% better.
And you have to get that. You have to respect that they do that.
Absolutely.
And you have to respect that they're not going to keep guys for sentimentality. They're going to keep the best players.
All I could think about when they signed him was...
you were right?
Yeah. We need more Bort license plates.
For
Simpsons,
Bart.
Simpsons,
yes.
Reference,
nice.
There.
I kept thinking of Spaceballs and thinking about Connor Barth. And he lost out to Kai Forbath in New Orleans, who just lost his job 2 days later. Weird things happen with the Saints kickers. So, look, life as a kicker is tough if you're not one of the top guys. Robbie Gould's been one of the top guys in this league for a long time. So that was the big news. We'll talk about that more with Mark Potash later on in the podcast. But I want to get you to what's going to be a staple on this show. If you listened to the podcast last year, you know what's coming. We're going to talk about the Bears' opponent, the Houston Texans, as we go behind enemy lines with Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Texans. You can follow him on Twitter, at TexansVoice. Mark, before we get into this Bears-Texans matchup, as somebody who does this for a living, I assume you're feeling the same thing a lot of us are feeling, that there is just a lot of excitement that we actually get to analyze and talk about a real football game. Are you feeling that as well this week?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny because, you know, all of us who work in this business have so many friends who don't. And a lot of them are just becoming aware that the season's starting and college football kicked in and everything. So the NFL's here. And, you know, as you know, I mean, this is a year-round thing now for anybody who works so closely with these teams that it's just I'm so excited because, yeah, now the games count. But everything is so big these days. You know, I mean, the combine is big for us. And, you know, we do a lot of coverage. I'm in charge of all the internal media for the Texans as well. You know, the website and all our TV shows and radio shows. We have a ton of radio time. So, you know, we've been going at it. And what fascinates me about pro football, Kevin, is that we go 7 months without snapping the football. And there's so much to talk about. I mean, you know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, baseball was the hot stove sport and everything. Now the NFL is just a year-round deal, but I'm super fired up that this thing is going.
Yeah, it's a month of speculation. Now we get to see what these teams are really made of. And I want to start with Houston's defense. And, you know, I think that we'll see J.J. Watt on the field. We know that. And I think folks who know the game know what to expect from J.J. Watt. But I wanted to talk to you about Jadeveon Clowney because I've always been fascinated by Clowney. You know, such a star in college, obviously the top draft pick. I know he's been a big topic of conversation in Houston this summer as he progresses. So what have you and what has the team kind of seen from him in his development this summer and kind of the expectations for this year?
Well, I think with Clowney, it's all about, and the coach has been very clear on this, it's all about being healthy because if he's healthy, he's going to make plays. I mean, the cream floats to the top and he's the cream. I mean, this guy is the real deal. And when he came out of college, I think there was some bad information about him out there. You know, there were some questions in the larger media picture about work ethic and things like that. And that is really not true. I mean, the guy works hard because he went through microfracture surgery during his rookie season and then made it back in time for opening day the following year. I really thought last year was going to be a wash for him. I thought he wasn't going to be out there at all. And I thought he was going to be on PUP at best and then maybe, you know, a few games and that was going to be it. but he played the bulk of the season. He just didn't get those big sack numbers that everybody's counting on, because those are the sexy stats for a position like his. And, you know, that's what they're looking for, let's be honest. But the one thing I liked about him last year was, as he came on recovering from the knee and clearly put in all the work he needed to rehab that thing, because you can't just sit around and wait for that to get better. You got to work that knee when you're coming back from microfracture. Once he got his first sack, he got 4.5 in his last 8 games. And I thought, all right, that's not a torrid pace, but that's trending in the right direction. Let's see if he can keep that momentum going. And what's been shown here in the preseason is that he's got that momentum. You know, the times that he's been out there, because they did put him out there for a, you know, bigger chunk of time than I expected, especially in that third preseason game. But he's been making plays. I mean, he's been wreaking havoc. He has been really tough. You saw him against the Saints, and this is a good offense. And, you know, Zach Strief could not handle him at all. I mean, he, you know, whichever side he picked, he was going to be a problem for whoever was trying to block him. And I really enjoyed watching him play. I think with him and Watt and Whitney Mercilus on that defensive front, it is going to be tough for opposing offenses to deal with all three of those guys. And then you got Will Fork and the others as well. So this will really be interesting to see what Clowney does in year 3.
And that's one of the matchups, Mark, that I think certainly favors the Texans when you talk about in the trenches there, because the Bears, you know, they have kind of, they're working on a new offensive line this week and going against a veteran, impressive Houston Texans defensive front. But that leads me to that Texans secondary. And I think folks maybe outside Houston don't know the names Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson, Kevin Johnson as well. But those guys are going to go up against Alshon Jeffery and Kevin White. And that's probably where the Bears think they might be able to gain some kind of advantages if those one-on-one matchups go their way. Those corners, the way they play, how do you see those guys handling the big wideouts the Bears are going to bring on Sunday?
Yeah, and I think the size does, you know, does matter with those receivers. I think what's interesting about the Texans secondary, and you mentioned it, they don't get a lot of national love necessarily. I mean, everyone knows Jonathan Joseph. Kareem has really come along strong, and, you know, he got signed to the big second contract. And I mean, I can't even tell you how bad it was for him in his rookie year of 2010, when he was the poster child for a horrid defensive season they were having. And then the next year, Joseph gets signed, Wade Phillips comes in, and Kareem starts to play better because he's got better guys around him who are teaching him the game. And now he's this wise veteran. It's just funny to see players develop like that. And it's one of the fun things about covering a football team so closely. I think with the secondary, you know, the Texans and Watt will get a lot of credit, and Watt deserves all the credit in the world. And with the pass rush and sacks and things like that, it's always a chicken and egg kind of thing, right? It's, did the pass rush create an opportunity in the secondary to get a turnover or a pass breakup because the quarterback was hurried? Or was the secondary there with tight coverage, forcing the quarterback to pull away from that number one option so he has to look around for that extra split second, enabling the pass rush to get to him? And I think it's, you know, it's both in many cases. If you have a great defense, it's both. And I think that's the case with the Texans. This defense was number one in the league in the last 9 weeks of last year. They got off to a bad start. I mean, the team was 2-5. They were in a terrible ditch. But they pulled themselves out and started to play really good defense. The Bengals on a Monday night, they held it to 6 points. They held the Saints without a touchdown for the first time in the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era. And, you know, that's saying something. I mean, the Saints didn't have a good season, but they had a tremendous offense still. So they really know what they're doing in the back end. And Andre Hall is a guy not to be overlooked at safety. I mean, they have a lot of good players back there and a lot of depth. I mean, they just signed A.J. Boye again this offseason, not to a huge contract, but he's a good corner. Kevin Johnson, you mentioned. I mean, I think this is going to be a fun secondary to watch as the year progresses.
Let's switch to the other side of the ball, Mark, and talk about the Texans offense. Obviously, two big new names, three actually, if you count the rookie Will Fuller. I want to talk about Brock Osweiler, because he actually, in his first career start, kind of picked apart that Bears defense a little bit last year with Denver. A lot of familiarity in terms of John Fox knowing Brock Osweiler, but this is a completely different scheme. Based on what you know about Bill O'Brien and what he wants to do, and then what you've seen from Brock Osweiler and his skill set, how is that marriage working out between that, the offensive scheme, and what Osweiler can do for the Texans?
Well, I think quarterbacks really enjoy this offense. And, the you know, everyone always talks about how complicated it is. which is sometimes frustrating to the fans here, because when they got off to a terrible start last year, everyone's thinking, well, it's complicated. Great. Is it too complicated? I mean, is it like a sports car that you just can't operate because the technology is just over your head or whatever for the quarterback they had last year? But Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in here 2 years ago in O'Brien's first year, and this is a Harvard alum who's been all around the league, and he told me this is the toughest offensive system he's ever had to learn. And then Osweiler says the same thing, but Osweiler says he loves it. And another thing, Matt Schaub, who never played for O'Brien, you know, he was kind of shown the door as the current regime got here. And it's not because O'Brien didn't like Schaub. He really studied the old film, and he thought Schaub was actually a good quarterback. And Schaub is a better quarterback than people remember because, you know, he had that horrible 2013 here. But he was actually pretty good for a stretch of years. But Schaub really liked the offense. He wanted to play in this offense because this offense gives the quarterback autonomy, gives the quarterback a chance to get into the right play at the line of scrimmage. You know, it's not like you're calling your own plays because the coaches have studied that game plan an awful lot. And they feel like they have what's best, but you can get out of a bad play. O'Brien's very clear on that. You can get out of bad plays into good plays based on what you're seeing in coverage at the line of scrimmage. A lot of pre-snap decisions made by the quarterback. And I think that Osweiler is the right guy. He's smart. He's a gym rat type of player. I know that's probably overused on a lot of guys, but he really is. He loves the game. He moved that quarterback meeting they have up earlier in the day because he just wants more time in the classroom with George Godsey, the offensive coordinator, and really wants to sink into these game plans. So I think it's going to be interesting. They got a lot of weapons. You know, Will Fuller, Braxton Miller, DeAndre Hopkins is one of the best in the league. This is going to be fun to watch for Texans fans. It's just a matter of, you know, getting the blocking right up front because the Texans have their own offensive line issues.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about. Just a couple more here with Mark Vandermeer. He's the voice of the Texans. Bears fans, go ahead and follow him on Twitter if you want to learn a little bit more about Houston this week at Texans Voice. That offensive line, obviously you have the changes, the new center, the new guard. You have Dwayne Brown not expected to play on Sunday. That is, as you said, that's going to be an area the Bears are certainly going to try to exploit. So how do you kind of see that matchup working? How do you kind of see the Texans making up for the fact that they just have some new faces up there up front?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. You know, this is, let's face it, this is the most important unit on your football team when you're talking about offensive line. And when you draft Nick Martin and hope that he can, you know, Mike Mayock said, here's a 10-year starter at center. Well, the 10 years hasn't started yet because it's going to be on hold for another year. Martin's on IR. So you start Greg Mantz, who's, he gets the job done. You know, he gets guys blocked, but he's not the physical presence of a Nick Martin. Potentially would be in this offense. And Dwayne Brown's not back yet at left tackle. Right tackle's Derek Newton, and he's, you know, just coming back from an injury. He'll get his first snaps in a real game on Sunday. They've got some issues, and Xavier Suofilo at left guard, even though he's top pick in the second round, he hasn't really solidified himself in there. He did play well in the back half of last year, and he's going to need to step up big. So I think that you have some opportunities if you're the Bears front seven, and can, you know, get some cracks of daylight into the backfield of the Texans and, you know, force them to throw the ball, you know, force them into long down and distance. I think that's all possible. That's all out there for the Bears. But this is the chess match right here. You know, can you get guys blocked long enough if you're the Texans to spring Lamar Miller for a few? You know, can you hit some big plays to Will Fuller? DeAndre Hopkins is, you know, he's everything. He's a safety valve. He's a deep threat. He's a red zone threat. He's everything for you as a quarterback. But you've got to avoid the pass rush. And, you know, Osweiler likes to look around and find the perfect play sometimes, you know, because, and I like that about him. A lot of people say, oh, he holds the ball too long, you know, which not, you don't want to see that. But what I like about him is that his head is always moving. He's always looking around, eyes downfield. Who's open? Who do I got? Where can I go with the ball? And, you know, that often results in big plays. He's got to play more. You know, we sometimes forget he's only had 7 starts in this league, so this is going to be interesting to see how his debut goes here in Houston.
And certainly Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio has watched tape of that Broncos-Bears game last year and is going to want to have a better plan, or at least do a better job against Osweiler this time around. All right, Mark, we'll wrap up with this. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit about your city, not so much the game.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Chicago sports fans making the trip down to Houston because the Cubs are in town this weekend as well. Do you have any good suggestions for folks of what they should do while they're in the beautiful city of Houston, maybe doing some Bears-Cubs doubleheader this weekend?
Yeah, you got to go get some good Tex-Mex here or barbecue because you can't go wrong either way. At most of the places you'll see, you know, the Pappas brothers, they have like Pappas Barbecue and Papacito's Tex-Mex. So, you know, if you stick with that brand, that chain, they're really good, actually. And I'm not just giving them the plug because, you know, they're a partner of the Texans. They're that good. So you can't go wrong that way. You got to enjoy yourself down here. I mean, it really is a tremendous football town. Look, there are a lot of Chicago transplants here. Houston is a city that brings a lot of people from a lot of different places together. And, you know, look, you mentioned Vic Fangio. Ask him. He used to live here and work here for this franchise back in the expansion years. And Vic is a terrific guy, and I'm really happy that he's found success in this league again.
Absolutely, and we'll see how many Chicago fans are out there. I imagine there'll probably be a lot more maybe Cub fans at the Cubs-Astros game maybe than Bears fans are at Bears-Texans based on the excitement about those two teams, but we will certainly wait and see. Week one, every team is 0-0. Every team has high expectations, so looking forward to Bears-Texans. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time, and I'll catch up with you down there at in Houston on Sunday.
Yeah, please say hello, Kevin. Have a safe trip. Good luck.
Again, a big thank you to Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Houston Texans. You can follow him on Twitter at TexansVoice if you want to learn a little bit more about the Bears' opponent this week. And we're going to continue breaking down the matchup in just a minute, but it's time to talk about our sponsor. It's time to talk about Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use that promo code. You know it, S-H-A-W, Shaw. You're going to get $3 off your first crate. What's in the crate, pray tell? Got collectibles, apparel, lots of fun things from your favorite pop culture, comic book franchises. You get a crate every month. You get a new t-shirt in every crate, comics, things for your kitchen, lots of stuff going on. What's our September theme we're talking here? The need for speed. Okay, so what? Let's see. We got Iron Man, Battlestar Galactica, Transformers. Nothing about the movie Speed, though, from what I can tell in this, which is probably good because I don't know if anybody will want it. to still get it. But go ahead, use our promo code Shaw, lootcrate.com/Shaw, because you got to get those Sonic the Hedgehog socks. That could be, you never know, it could be in your crate. I was very good at Sonic 2 back in the day. Not Sonic 1 or Sonic and Tails, but Sonic 2.
I was good at Sonic 1.
Sonic 1, you were Sonic 1. When did Knuckles come in? That was Sonic 3, I think.
That was past me. Yeah. I was done with Genesis.
Sonic 2 was the one, Matt. So anyways, go check that out, lootcrate.com/Shaw. So, you know, obviously people in Houston are very optimistic for this season. They're coming off a playoff appearance. They have an upgraded quarterback, an upgraded running back. They got another receiver to pair with DeAndre Hopkins. They get J.J. Watt back. They have Whitney Merciless. They think Jadeveon Clowney is going to be a star. I thought what was really interesting was hearing him talk about the cornerbacks. There's a lot of reasons why Houston is a 6.5-point favorite in this game, and we'll kind of get more into the game matchup itself and why it's a 6.5-point spread and some of the key matchups that we should be watching when the Bears play the Texans. But I want to get back to some of the roster moves that happened over the weekend and to talk about that with me. I brought on one of the best people at Halas Hall, and that's Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark Potash. Potsy, thanks for joining the podcast today.
Thanks, Kevin. It's great to be here.
So we opened the show talking about Robbie Gould, and I won't bore our listeners again with my view on what happened. But in a quick nutshell, I understood why you cut one player because another player is better. I just thought it was interesting that they believe Connor Barth is that much better than Robbie Gould to make a move at this time. Were you that surprised by it? What was your reaction to how they explained themselves at Halas Hall on Monday?
Well, Kevin, not surprised overall that the move was made, just like everyone else. The timing was very awkward. I get their explanation, but I think you gotta bring in the Josh Sitton of kickers to make that kind of move at that kind of at that late a date for a player who's done that much for you. To, you know, and here's the other thing: With all due respect to Ryan Pace, what has he done already that tells you his intuition is that great that Connor Barth, a guy who is just another good, you know, decent kicker who's bounced around the league, is actually that much better than Robbie Gould? So I think that's probably the biggest problem I have with that, is that it just seems like it was an awkward, I thought it was disrespectful to Robbie Gould. I know it's a cold-hearted business. I understand that. But I just think in order to make that work, you've got to bring in a guy who you absolutely know is the best of the best and a definite upgrade. And I don't think we can say that was an upgrade, and I don't think we can say that Ryan Pace for sure knows it'll be an upgrade. So I guess that's where I stand on that issue.
Yeah, and I know I think this is something we can overrate every once in a while because it is a business. But for a team that has had trouble saying goodbye to some of its, you know, great players, I thought a Sunday night very basic press release with not even anything from McCaskey or Ryan. I mean, Ryan Pace did point out the respect he had for Robbie Gould, and maybe I'm getting a little too meathead over this one, Mark, but I thought maybe that Robbie Gould, everything he's done for his franchise over 11 seasons, maybe deserved a little bit more than what he got on Sunday night.
Yeah, it could have been handled better, and I kind of agree. It's not the end of the world. It's, you know, I don't think it stains the Bears or Ryan Pace. I just think it was kind of an awkward, kind of unbecoming move that I think like a lot of things he's done, I think he will handle better in the future, and that goes back to the Kevin White thing last year. And I just think these are, I wouldn't even call them rookie mistakes, but he's learning as he goes along too, Ryan Pace. So I think this is something he'll handle a little bit differently, but I think he was a little bit stuck. He saw a guy he liked, and he had to get him. He wanted to get him right then, and it was just awkward timing for him. But again, could have been handled better. Like I said, if Connor Barth is that much of the answer, then Ryan Pace really knows his stuff, and so far we haven't seen that. We haven't seen evidence of that yet.
All right, well, I've far exceeded my quota for talking kickers for the podcast for now and in the future. So let's move on to talk about Josh Sitton, because I haven't talked about that yet, and I wanted to talk to you about not just what it means for the offensive line, but you've covered every professional team in Chicago in your years at the Sun-Times, Mark, and so you know the idea of rebuilding versus trying to stay competitive. And in the NFL, it's hard to just straight up rebuild. But I found it interesting that they gave Josh, not only signed Josh Sitton, but gave him a pretty nice contract because they think he's going to help the offensive line in a year that this is a young team that no one expects to make the playoffs. How do you balance that when you look at the way the organization has to try to rebuild but stay competitive at the same time?
Well, I think Josh Sitton helps the Bears no matter what stage of development they're at. In other words, he's not some veteran guy who is not going to be there when they're good. He can still be there when the Bears are a playoff team. So I don't see that really as that big of an issue. I think the biggest thing with Josh Sitton, I think, is what he does for their room, frankly. I mean, what he does on the field. If he's as good as he's been, he's going to be a huge upgrade for them. But also what he does, you can already feel that, you know, they're pumped about it. The Bears really like the fact that, A, they have a better player now, and, B, it just shows them that they're really willing to go all out to try and make this team better. And, you know, this as 500 or 7-9-ish as the Bears look right now, I still say this team has a better chance of going 10-6 than they do 4-12. I don't think they're quite as far away, especially with the way the NFL goes, that you can say they're 2-3 years away when Josh Sitton will be, what, 33, 34 years old and maybe not as good. So I have no problem with that move. The only thing I question is, you know, like I said, like I wrote today in the paper, you know, what do the Packers know that the Bears don't? Teams like that don't give players away or let players go like that, and that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, because I always tell people because you get this too, whenever anybody gets cut, everyone's like, "Oh, should the Bears sign him?" And Josh Sitton was kind of a no-brainer, it seemed. But there's always a reason a guy's available at this time of year, and there's a reason the Packers couldn't get anything for this guy via trade. So we'll see if the Bears find anything out. Talking about the record and you know what this team could do, I hate predicting records because I think in the NFL so many games come down to the wire, and I hate to use a foxyism, but they are a lot of flips of the coin. But one guy that it's so hard for me to be too confident about what this kind of jump this team can make is not having Pernell McPhee for the first six games. And I know they are deeper at outside linebacker than a lot of positions to withstand that, But what's been your view of how long he's been out and maybe how they handled that one? I mean, they certainly didn't put a timeline on him, but I don't think any of us predicted the first day in Bourbonnais when he started camp on the PUP list that he would be missing the first six games of the season.
Yeah, Kevin, I think, and I don't want to jump to too many conclusions here, but I just think it's a bad early sign, a bad first step for Ryan Pace, because as you recall, I'm sure you recall, a lot of people do, that, you know, it was the same question as Josh Sitton. What's a 26-year-old pass rusher doing on the market? If he is, you know, what's wrong? And I think the whispers or the speculation was that with the weight he carries, if he's a full-time player, he's going to be injury-prone. And that has played out exactly. I mean, you talk about Ryan Pace talked about evaluating Josh Sitton. Well, they evaluated, evaluated McPhee the same way and had the same knowing about the same injury concerns. And so far, that looks like a whiff. So my issue with that is kind of bigger picture and what it means for the way the Bears evaluate players. And maybe it was a case of a first year GM had to make some kind of splash. It wasn't a huge splash, but he had to make some kind of move, and that was the one he jumped on, so I don't want to jump to that conclusion. But that's what the McPhee thing says to me, is that so far that's a strikeout for the Bears. And also, like you said, you know, the way this thing is dragged down, that's not good either, because we've already seen with Kevin White that was day to day, ended up out for all year, and so injury wise, which is a point of emphasis for them. They're just not off to a great start. So I guess I hate to be so negative, but I mean, that right now, they're at the low point right now as far as kind of player development, player evaluation goes in my mind. But there's a long way to go.
Yeah, Mark, and John Fox has done this a lot longer than you have.
And he lets us know it, too. So, and that's fine. You know something?
Yes.
They do know more than we do, and I get that. But we analyze the results. That's what I try and do. And the results are, when you look at the Kevin White situation, when you look at McPhee, I mean, how many players, and I believe in Ryan Pace. I think he's going to be good at what he does. But if you look at what's the best move he's made? You really can't say. I don't know if there is one right now. They're at a point. This is a really interesting point of his tenure, of where the Bears are now, this very moment, because there's so much, they have so much room for growth, but we've seen virtually none of it. So they've got a lot of first and second year players that we don't know very much about at all. I'm talking about guys like Eddie Goldman, who showed, you know, he's supposed to take a big step this year. They've got so much room for growth, but we've got to see it this year, because so far, you analyze it. How many players has he brought in have really showed out? And we haven't seen it yet. So it's just kind of a weird time to analyze the Bears and jump to too many conclusions about Ryan Pace.
Yeah, that's a great point, because you want to be able to say that Eddie Goldman was a good pick. Jeremy Langford in the fourth round seems like a nice pick. Adrian Amos in the fifth round. But we're judging based on one season, and a season in which they went 6-10. So it is hard for us to really, you know, but yeah, if a lot of these guys continue to progress, then you can start giving Ryan Pace some of those accolades. And another big thing Ryan Pace did this weekend, although they haven't acknowledged it or anything, is the reported contract extension for Kyle Long. 4 years, $40 million with $30 million guaranteed, which would be the most guaranteed money for a guard in the league. I could see, if you're Kyle Long, why you take that deal now. You get all the guaranteed money you can. You're going to be playing this year with an injured shoulder. You know, you've already got the three Pro Bowls. And from 4 years from now, he can get another contract. So I think it's smart on his part. From the team perspective, Mark, do you like the move?
Yeah, I do. I because for one thing, it's a player who actually has earned the money.
Yes.
I mean,
you know, absolutely.
That's the first thing. So I have no problem. Who knows what the market's going to be? You know, if they sign him to top line guard money and he becomes a tackle when Hronas Grasu comes back next year, which who knows what can happen? Then you've got a bargain, I think. But it's a bargain either way, because unless Long is not healthy, he's a guy who I think has earned it and is worth it. And my only qualm is Kyle Long just can't be the best player on your team, and right now he is. So I think that's where the development. Kevin, it always comes back to growth. This team has to have a lot of players grow, so that Kyle Long, as much as he's worth it, isn't your best player. That kind of thing. So that's kind of the running theme, I think, at this point of the year, is that this is a year of growth for the Bears, and we can see if we see it, the arrow's pointing up. If we don't, the arrow's pointing down.
Yeah, and I'll say this too, and you'll have a great vantage point from your years of covering Chicago sports. When if the Cubs make it to the World Series and the Bears are like 2-3, you know, come October, it's going to be interesting to see. Even though it's still a Bears town, it always will be a Bears town, and the NFL is so popular, the difference in attention this team's getting. Because you saw it in training camp, Mark. I saw it in training camp. I've talked about it on this podcast. There just wasn't a lot of excitement. I don't blame anybody for not being excited when, as you just said, the best player on the team is a right guard, and there's so many new faces, and people just need to get used to it. I will say there's an opportunity here, if I'm going to go glass half full, there's an opportunity with two rookie quarterbacks in the first 3 weeks, and then the Lions in week four at home, for the Bears to maybe get off to a nice start. And they really have to get off to a good start when you look at the back half of the schedule. But there are some things that could work out for them. And I could see them maybe – I mean, imagine what the city will be like if the Bears are actually doing well in October and the Cubs are making their run. It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, it'll be a Cub town in October, no doubt about it. But as you said, you know, football's an addictive sport. The Bears are kind of an addiction in Chicago, and they kind of rule all. So the Bears really don't have to be all that great. They just have to get the Bears have to create some buzz. That's what this season to me is all about. They're a starless team. They have very few Pro Bowl players. I mean, their Pro Bowl players are all on the offensive line, mostly, and Alshon Jeffrey. They need to create a little bit of a buzz. It doesn't take much for this town to go Bears crazy. But this is about as low profile as you mentioned about, you know, training camp. This is about as low profile as the Bears have ever been. But don't that does not necessarily lead to apathy, even though it looks like it in training camp. People care about the Bears a lot, and all it takes is a little bit of hope, a little bit of life, and even in the midst of the Cubs run, this team will still be Bears crazy if they do get off to a good start and, like I said, create some kind of buzz.
Do you think there'll be more Cub fans at Cubs Astros or more Bears fans at Bears Texans?
Well, there's the way the Cubs are going, and then just listen to those crowds like in Milwaukee and stuff. But just they mentioned on either radio or TV the other day, it sounds like Wrigley Field. If you close your eyes, it's just I'd have to go with the Cubs. But I will say, at least the Astros are also fighting for something.
Right.
So that could mitigate the Cub fan rule there. So I'd still go. The Cub fans, they travel so well. They always have, even when the Cubs were just a decent playoff team and not this juggernaut that they are now. So I'd have to go with the Cubs, not by a landslide, but significantly.
Have you made a game pick yet? Have you had to do that?
I've been asked once, and I picked on Sunday. I picked the Texans, but I'll be honest, I haven't even looked at the Texans. To tell you the truth, I just know J.J. Watt might play, which I guess could affect anybody's pick. So I really haven't looked at it. But you know, I think it's going to be a close game. I think the Bears are they're not going to be great, but I think they're going to play much better in the regular season than they did in the preseason. So I think it's going to be one of those field goal type games, and possibly a good one for the Bears. So, but you know, just based on past experience, I'd say that I have this one down as a loss.
I know I said I wasn't going to talk about kickers, but it would be something if the Bears' first game of the season came down to Connor Barth.
Well, you know, it'd be just their luck that it would. I don't know which way I'd count. I'd say that one would go, but that would be interesting. There's going to be a lot of those things. It's going to come down to, I think, early in the season, because it's kind of the way the Bears have been going.
Well, if it's under 40 yards, I think you can count on him, at least according to the Bears. So,
well, that is interesting that you know Robbie Gould is you know, I always say this about Robbie Gould. I know you don't want to talk about kickers, but I'll say this: besides maybe the big game-winning kicks he's made, the most impressive thing about Robbie Gould, and it always goes back to growth, are the 50-yard field goals. When he started with the Bears his first 4 years, they wouldn't even let him try 50-yard field goals. He had two in his first 4 years. And the thing was, I remember writing this, when they need a kicker who can boom the long field goals. And then he actually got good at it. He not only did it, but he got really good at it. I think he's the third most accurate in NFL history from 50 yards out, something like that. But either way, that'll be the interesting thing, because I can't remember Robbie, except for last year, the two times, of course, he missed, and I think one was a long one. But I think the longer field goals were a bigger deal, I guess, than I don't remember the short ones really being that much of a bugaboo, even though he wasn't that great at it. So I don't know how much of an advantage it is to have a more accurate kicker within 40, because this day and age, you need those 50-yard field goal is almost like a regular kick now. So you got to have a guy who's good at it. So, again, it goes back to what do they know about Connor Barth that we don't, you know, and you know, we'll see. Like I said, it always comes back to evaluation and intuition for the Bears because that's where they are right now.
Mark Potash, Chicago Sun-Times. Follow him on Twitter, at Mark Potash. And, Mark, always look forward to your first and 10 on Mondays, and hopefully our listeners will check that out on Monday after the Bears-Texans game. I hope you enjoyed your first time on the podcast.
I sure did, Kevin. Thanks for having me. I hope I can be on the podcast again sometime.
All right, sounds good. Take care, Mark.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
All right, that was Mark Potash, Potsy, as we lovingly call him at Hallis Hall. Good stuff. You know, he brings up some really good points about the organization, their philosophy, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. That I think Ryan Pace could be a good talent evaluator, a good general manager, but we haven't seen a whole lot yet. And this season, if you're punting on this season, you don't think they're going to make the playoffs. You're watching Kevin White, Leonard Floyd, Jeremy Langford, Eddie Goldman, Adrian Amos. These are the guys you're building your team around. Alshon Jeffrey, if he's going to stay here. Charles Leno, the left tackle. You know, if those guys improve and this team goes 8-8, you know, then you can look into next year and be like, all right, they have something here. But also, if those guys all play well to the point that you're confident about it, this team could do better than 8-8 if those guys all play up to that level.
Absolutely, especially when you take a look at the early season schedule, there's an opportunity. But they had to have made that growth basically by now because it's not going to really it'll happen between weeks 1 and week 2. But after that, they kind of are who they are. And so you really have to watch these first couple of games and see that long list of guys and what kind of progress they've made.
So each week I'm going to give you one matchup to watch for the upcoming game. This week's matchup is going to be the Texans passing game versus the Bears secondary.
Oh boy.
Because this is where the Bears might be at their biggest disadvantage. However, the Texans' offensive line is shaky. They're going to be without their starting left tackle. They have a new center. They have a new guard. The Bears have guys that can get after the passer this year. They have their best part of this team right now is the front seven. They'll be able to put some pressure on Brock Osweiler. And if Tracy Porter is healthy, look, DeAndre Hopkins is going to get his. But if Tracy Porter is healthy, that helps you. If Kyle Fuller's healthy, that helps you. Bryce Callahan, their guys are getting healthy. I think this is where, just on paper, you look at what those wide receivers could do against the Bears cornerbacks who have been hurt, and you worry. Will Fuller's speed, and you know what they can do.
Braxton Miller's look good.
Braxton Miller's look very good. But that Bears front seven against the Texans offensive line could be a big part of that if they can rattle Osweiler. I mean, he's quicker than you would think for his size.
He's elusive.
You know, here's the thing. Osweiler picked apart the Bears defense last year. This is a different Bears defense. And look, he wasn't great last year. We saw that.
No, he wasn't. I mean, and you mentioned all the offensive line issues for the Texans. It's still also new quarterback, new running back that haven't played together in an NFL game before. So there's a lot of moving parts there that do not have the chemistry that you would expect a team that is supposed to contend like Houston might be.
And on the other side, the Bears, same quarterback. I mean, Jay played enough games with Jeremy Langford to be comfortable with him in the backfield, and then Jeffrey White and Royal. I mean, you can make the same thing on the other side. That Jeffrey White and Royal, and this is what I talked to Mark Vandermeer about earlier, those guys should be able to have advantages against those corners in one-on-one situations. It's just if the offensive line can protect Jay Cutler.
Yeah, we'll see how Josh Sitton fills in with that.
Yeah. And
look, I'm intrigued.
It's going to be – I mean – it's a second year in a row they're going to have a brand new starting five the first week of the season compared to what they had in the preseason. But this time it's because you got a three-time Pro Bowler and Josh Sitton.
Usually a good reason, though.
Yes. So, all right, it's time for our game picks. Who wants to go first? Dan Mott?
I'll take it.
Dan Mott, go ahead. By the way, six and a half point spread, the over-under I've seen around 44 for those of you who like to play for fun.
And money.
And fun.
Well, I'm going to say that this is somewhat of a lower scoring game, and I'm going to go Bears 24, Texans 21. I think it will come down to that kick. I think Barth has something to prove, and he's going to make that field goal to put them up. The other thing that we really haven't mentioned on here, and before I turn it over to John, I want to get your guys' opinion. Do you think that because it was preseason, Fox didn't put all he could out there because he didn't – I mean, we know Fox is so secretive. Could he have just kept things off the field that he just didn't want people to see for the regular season?
Oh, I think he did a lot of that, especially on offense. I think
they didn't throw deep to Alshon once.
They have some things to open up for sure, and on both sides of the ball.
So I think we're going to see that on Sunday.
But so does Houston.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing. All right, John Sally.
So a couple of weeks ago, I thought this game could be kind of a sneaky shootout because J.J. Watt was questionable. The Texans' offensive line was healthy. We still had, I think some positive things to say about the Bears' offense. This was right around like the Patriots' preseason game. Now I'm with you guys. I think this goes under the Vegas total. Yeah, I think Houston comes away with it, but I'm not going to be shocked by a Bears victory.
Do you have a score?
24-21 sounds about right.
Okay. So you got Texans 24, Bears 21. Yeah. Dan, you have
Bears
24, Texans 21. I'm going Texans 24, Bears 19. You guys know I like those goofy,
you do
those goofy scores now with the new extra point. I think I have the Bears with a sneaky backdoor cover. It's just hard for me to pick them to win on the road with everything that's gone on this preseason. I just can't ignore it. I think this team's going to be better than people expect. I'm still going with 8-8, and I think it's going to be close. And no, I will not walk out of Houston shocked if the Bears win. But right now you look at the two teams, and look, the Texans were in the playoffs last year. And that defensive front seven is one of the best in the game, and they have one of the best receivers in the game. So they have a lot more kind of all-pro talented guys than the Bears have.
And we'll see. I mean, my theory, and you guys have heard this from me, I think the Bears are a funnel defense this year. I think the secondary is awful. I've said that a couple of times now in the front seven. Way better. So
yes.
I think Lamar Miller may struggle in his first game in Houston.
Unless he bounces outside.
That could be trouble.
Which one thing, too, to keep an eye out for, setting the edge. The Bears need their outside linebackers to get out there and keep them from bouncing outside. Pernell McPhee was very good at that because he could just blow up that offensive tackle. Willie Young, Leonard Floyd, that's going to be a challenge for them. Willie Young improved his run defense late last year, so that's reassuring. And Lamar Houston can handle it, but that's something to keep an eye out for. So we all have the Bears covering. Dan's got a straight-up victory for the Bears, and we'll try to remember this each week. Any television updates, guys? TV show? You're the Worst Day of Season 3 premiere was last week.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, Desmond Borges, of course, on that show. So, but I'm looking forward to get the fall lineup going in the next few weeks.
Yeah, Mr. Robot is just about finishing up with its season. It's been outstanding and dark.
I still got to get into that.
Yeah,
I've heard great things. Stranger Things is another one I think I'm supposed to get into.
I'm supposed to get into that as well. Dan, you've watched that.
I'm watching it. Yeah, it's excellent.
My sister's been telling me I gotta get into that. So, all right, we'll have more TV updates for everybody. American Ninja Warrior.
Yes,
it's getting turnt. It's getting wild.
Last night was kind of wild.
Yeah. So that's been. How about Jesse Graff beating?
Yeah.
That was
amazing.
Maybe in the offseason we'll do an American Ninja Warrior podcast.
Yes.
So, all right, that'll.
Do we get a hub pick?
For the game, yeah. Oh, of course. Gosh, Hub's pick is the Texans winning against the Bears. Okay, Hub Arkish, Texans 23, Bears 16. So he's got
Goofy
Houston.
Score.
Goofy score. He's got Houston covering the spread. All right, let me give you guys some plugs here. Remember, Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m., WCIU the U, watch Chicago football. Now, Thursday, pick up a Chicago Sun-Times, a Daily Herald, or a Northwest Herald, or a lot of other papers around Illinois to check out our Pro Football Weekly insert. Go check out all of our Bears content, profootballweekly.com/Bears. Of course, follow us on Twitter at Bears_Insider and Snapchat. I will be in Houston this weekend. I will be Snapchatting from Bears_Insider.
That's going to be fun.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Follow Kevin on Snapchat.
Maybe I'll Snapchat any good Tex-Mex I have out there.
Please do.
Hope to see some good random Bears jerseys. I want to see a Raymond Harris jersey.
Ooh, maybe a Curtis Enos jersey.
Maybe he'll stick with Raymond Harris.
All right.
out in Houston. So go follow that on Snapchat. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at KFishbane. We'll be at Hallis Hall all week getting ready for Bears Texans. Thank yous to Hand Around. Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Texans, joined us, and Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. For my executive producer, Dan Mott, and my associate producer, John Solly, I'm Kevin Fishbane. We got a Bears game this weekend, and we got more Bears talk for you next week.